Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. I want to testify in sincerity that Jesus truly is everything to me.
Amen.
And I'm glad I know Him.
Amen.
I'm glad He came to me.
Amen.
Now, He came to me.
That's right.
I didn't go searching for Him
right.
Until after He came to me. He put a desire in my heart to seek for Him. And I am so glad that I found Him. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that I found Him. Well, actually, as I said, He found me, but I'm glad that, well, I know Him. Psalm 128. What a wonderful psalm. Had something very unusual to happen this week. So I've got my outline all together, and I know this is what I'm going to preach. And very early this morning, God woke me up, and you say, well, I don't believe God does that. Well, that's okay. He woke me up. Maybe He didn't wake you up. God wakes me up every day.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
This morning He woke me up, and He said, this is what I want you to do. And I said, okay, Lord. Listen, I pray, God, I just want to do what You want me to do.
Amen.
See, I have found out that's the best way to live life.
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
It's the best way to live life. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart.
Amen.
And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And what great paths that God has us on.
Amen.
So here's what I want to do with the help of the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit out of this psalm. This psalm is very familiar to we Christians. All right? Very familiar to Christians. It's very familiar to those that are of the Judaism, of the Jewish faith. Because it is a psalm of degrees. Now, I want you to notice right under Psalm 128, it says a song of degrees. Now, I'm just going to spend a little time talking to you about some things about the psalm itself instead of the teaching of the psalm. May do that tonight. This is a Father's Day psalm. I'm going to show you some things that God just spoke to my heart about this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But more important than being a blessing to you, I hope it'll be a help to you. Now, this psalm is about blessing. Okay, it's about being a blessing, about how God wants to bless you. See, there's a lot of people that think God wants to curse you. But we're under a curse, but God wants to bless you in spite of the curse. And that's what I want you to see this morning. See, God has cursed some things because of sin. I don't believe that. Well, just look around you and it won't take you long to start believing it. This whole world's under a curse. With all the killing and all the violence and all that's going on, the perversion and the twisted things that are happening in our world, you have to know that this is just not natural. This is supernatural. Listen, not all things that are spiritual are good. There are some spiritually evil things that are going on in our world today. And there are some spiritually good things. And so we know that there are some supernatural things that are happening in our world. I want you to know that when these psalms were written, there are 15 song of degrees. They start in Psalm 120 and they end in Psalm 134. 15 songs of degrees. Now, what are these psalms? What are these songs? And that's what psalms are. What are they? Well, the song of degrees, these collection of psalms, was songs that the children of Israel, in particular by family groups, as they were marching up to Zion, as they were marching up to the temple, as they were marching to Jerusalem, as they were marching to celebrate the feast days, they would sing these psalms and they of ascent, because you march up to, it's an ascension, up to Jerusalem. Now, they broke down into three or five groups of three. When you start in Psalm 120, you have trouble. And then Psalm 21, you have trust. And then Psalm 22, you have triumph. Then you start over in Psalm 123, and you have trouble again. Then 124, you have trust. And then 125, you have, well, triumph again. 126, you have trouble. 127, you have trust. And here we have in 128, triumph again. So there's five of these cycles of trouble and trust. You know, isn't that the way life is lived?
Yeah.
You know, we get ourselves in trouble, And then we learn what it is to trust God. It's when we get in trouble that we really understand how important it is to trust God. And when we begin to trust God, we see that God can give victory, that we can triumph Amen. In this life. Amen. So, well, preacher, I'm under a heavy burden. I'm under a heavy load. We're all busy people. There's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot going on in our family. There's a lot going on in our homes. There's a lot going on in our communities. There's a lot going on in our lives. And we live in troublesome times. And we need to know what it is to trust in the Lord. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. But now he's going to transition from the trouble to the trust. He says, I want you to triumph. I want you to triumph in life. We are more, you see. We Christians have lost sight of this. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now listen, it's one thing to conquer, but we're more than conquerors, you see. We have been caused to triumph, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, in Christ Jesus. I trust you're living the victorious Christian life. You talk to folks today and you ask, how are you doing? Well, all right, under the circumstances. You don't need to be living under the circumstances. You need to be living under the umbrella of God's grace and blessing. Amen. That's right. It's a reality, brethren. It's a reality. I'm not talking to you about some prosperity gospel and some feel good. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about a walk in the Spirit. I am talking about something that is available to everyone. Notice how the psalm begins here in verse number 1. Blessed is everyone. Amen. You say, well, everyone's not blessed. Well, he identifies those that are. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. You fear God today? If you do, you're blessed. Amen. That word fear is the word reverence, revere, respect. See, our society has lost respect for God. We've lost our reverence for the things of God. It's honor. It is awe. A-W-E. Blessed is everyone. Hey, that means you. That means me. Every person that will stand in awe, that will stand in honor of the Lord, receives the blessing. I want you to notice that that's, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So here's what he does. He starts with that blanket statement. And then he takes about three things. We're going to talk about who in this psalm. And then we're going to talk about what in this psalm. And, well, then we'll talk about where. That's three good questions. When I was growing up in school, didn't go to Christian school, wasn't even in a Christian home, but I was taught by good teachers that had principle that said, when you're reading something, you need to ask some questions to find out the content of what you're reading. And you start with the basics. Who? What? Why? Where? Those kind of things. So let's do that. All right, let's start with who. Who are you speaking to? Who are you speaking to? He said in verse number 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And then verse 1 goes on to say, that walketh in his ways. All right? So this is for everyone. This is Father's Day, and we're going to see how that this man eventually finds his way to a father. All right? But he says, I want you, everyone to know God will bless your life. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I'm not talking about me blessing your life. I'm speaking to you this morning about God blessing your life. God will bless your life. Position yourself to receive the blessing. See, I think sometimes we just say, now, God, here I am, and this is what I'm going to do. Bless it. No, that's not the way it works. You find out where God's blessing, and you get under that spout right there. Amen? You find out where the blessing's at, and you position yourself to receive the blessing. Say amen with me, folks. That's the word of God. That's what God teaches. So blessed is everyone. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're black or white. Doesn't matter if you're tall or short. Doesn't matter if you're thin or wide. Have to think about that one. See, I get in trouble early when I'm preaching. But the Lord helped me. So he said, I want you to know you are a recipient. You are a candidate to be a recipient of the blessing of God. Say, preacher, I'd sure like to know how to get that. Well, stay tuned. Then he says, when we're talking about who, he begins to expand on it. And he says, blessed is everyone. Then if you would, look over if you would in verse number 2. He said, blessed is everyone. Then he said in verse number 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. He said, I'll tell you right now, I'll bless a working man. You say, well, he's not talking about a man, is he? Only. Well, you see, in this day, the men worked in the fields and the women took care for the house. Now, they helped some, but they understood their roles and they worked within the confines of those roles. And he said, a man that'll labor in the field. Now, stay tuned, because here's a curse. If you go back, when God cursed Adam and Eve, he told Adam, he said, from the sweat of thy brow, he said, you're going to bring forth from the thorns and the thistles, right? Is that what he said? So he said, you know what? He said, God will even turn your cursing into a blessing. God will bless you in spite of the curse. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you feel like, you know, I feel like I'm pedaling, but I'm getting nowhere. I'm running, but I feel like I'm running in place. I'm gathering, but there's holes in the bag in which I'm gathering. It just seems like that nothing I do is turning out right, preacher. I feel like I'm under a curse. Well, you know, really, generally speaking, this whole world's under a curse. I'll be glad when one day we get removed. Amen. This old curse is going to be removed, and we're going to be removed from this curse. But he said right here, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be. Isn't that something? He said, I will take what was meant to be sweat of thy brow. He said, I'll turn it into joy in your heart. See, God can do that, brethren. God can do that. When you realize who you're working for, you fear the Lord. See, when you're at work, you have to realize, yes, I'm working for my superior. Yes, I'm working for this company. Yes, I'm working for this corporation. But God is watching. I belong to God. I don't belong to this corporation. Amen. I realize some folks think they do, but I'm not for sale. Amen. I don't believe you are. And so you have to realize I'm working for God. And so I want to do my very best. Yes, I want to do the very best for my supervisor. I want to do the very best for that man that signs my paycheck. But more importantly than that, I want to do my very best for the God of heaven. Yeah, every Christian ought to be a hard worker. Amen. Work hard. Listen, fathers, teach your sons and daughters to have a good work ethic. Teach them to work. Work is favorable. Amen. We live in a society where folks think of work as a curse and, oh, it's work. Listen, you ought to praise God. You have the energy and the ability to work with your hands and your mind and your body. You ought to praise God for that. We've quit teaching that to our young generation, and I want to implore and impress upon each of you to teach your children and your grandchildren a good, honest work ethic. Labor is good. And so he said, for thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands. So here he expands it. He said, you want a blessing? I'll bless everyone that will fear the Lord. And if you fear the Lord, you'll walk in his ways. Isn't that what verse 1 says? Yes, sir. And then he said in verse number 2, he said, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. You see. So he kind of extended it there from just everyone to everyone that understands the goodness of work. And then notice where he transitions in verse number 3. Now we're going to go from just everyone to a working man to, well, a husband. A husband. Look what he said in verse number 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side. So he just keeps kind of expanding, or really, in essence, he's narrowing it down and honing in. If you're a husband, God said, I want to bless you. And I want to bless you with the greatest gift of life outside of my son, Jesus Christ. What is that? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, he or whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And every man in here that's married ought to say amen to that. Amen. Praise God for my wonderful wife. How about it, men?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for your wonderful wife. Listen, one of the greatest gifts from heaven is woman. That's right. My woman, my wife. Praise God. Love your wife. Love her as Christ loved the church. Take care of your wife, men. Take care of your wife. Cherish her. Cherish her. We live in a society that is, listen, that is against women. They're trying to say that we are, but they're the ones that are against women and womanhood. We're for femininity. Amen. I'm for the feminine. I'm glad that God can bring the feminine out of the masculine. He did it in creation. He made Adam, and then which is masculine, and he brought feminine out of masculine. God can do that. See, God wants both. Amen. God doesn't want us to get confused, you see. That's right. And so he said here in verse number 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Oh, the grace, the ornament that a woman brings to a home and to a household. Amen? Thank God for the godly moms that are represented right here in this building today. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Husband, listen to me. You husbands, now listen up. You ought to love your wife. You ought to cherish your wife. You ought to pray for your wife. You ought to pray with your wife. You ought to stand by your wife. That's right. You ought to keep your eyes on your wife. Amen. That's right. Listen, he said, you want to be blessed? You want to receive a blessing? Then he said, you need to understand that whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But you know, that's not where that verse ends. There's another part of that verse, and oftentimes we quit quoting the verse right there. I'm talking about Proverbs 18:22. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. See, God will bless you when you do right by your mate. Oh, listen, if there's any man that ought to do right by his wife, it's a Christian man.
Amen.
I can't have respect for a man that would lay his hands on a woman in a wrongful way. I can't have respect for that. I pray to God there'd be no one in this building or watching and joining us by live stream that would dare even consider something like that. You protect that lady that God's giving you. Amen.
Amen.
You stand by her and you stand tall for her. That's what being a man is. See, we've got mixed up today in our definition of what a man is. We think a man has muscles. We think a man is identified by how much he can lift or how much he can kill or how much he can score in a game or something. No, a man's a real man, biblically speaking, is a man who will fear the Lord.
Amen.
And a man who will stand by his wife.
Amen.
And stand for what's right.
Amen.
And train up those little children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. That's right. That's a real man.
Amen.
You see, we've gotten confused in our day. There was a day in this country when we identified a real man as what I just told you. But that's far being removed. Don't you let it be removed from you. You stand firm on what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
God is always right.
Amen.
God is always right.
Amen.
And so he said, everyone can receive the blessing. We're talking about who? And then he went from everyone, he said, those that fear the Lord. And then he said, those that work, those that fear the Lord and labor. Right? Well, don't this so slothful, lazy generation, doesn't it just bother you? It bothers me. It does. We got folks sitting around waiting on a check in the mail from the government. It's really not from the government. It's from me and you as taxpayers. I don't like it. You say, well, now, preacher, I just can't find work. You can't. You come see me after the service. I got some work for you to do. Hey, man, I'm being honest. I'm being sincere. I'm not being mean now. Don't you buy into that lie. There's plenty of work out there to do. Go to work. Go to work, hey, man. Listen, I come up in the old day. You want something, work for it. Somebody say amen with me now. I mean work for it. That's right. You want something bad enough, you'll work hard enough to get it. If you don't work to get it, I doubt you'll take care of it when you do. Amen. You say, preacher, is that in your notes? No. No, that's not even what God woke me up to tell me this morning, but he's telling me to say it right now, so I'm going to say it. Amen. Tell you, we're in a bad way, brethren. I said, we're in a bad way. Somebody needs to stand up and say, we need to learn what it is to work for what we want. If you want to eat, go to work. Amen. You want some new threads? Go to work and get them. Want a new ride? Work for it. Quit sitting around waiting on a check in the mail. Go pick up one from your employer when you finish your full days and full week's work. And so he said here, he said, you want to be blessed, you want to be happy, then you fear the Lord. You have a good work ethic. You labor. And then he said, marriage is a wonderful thing. I thank God for marriage. And I realize some folks, listen, are not married, and maybe God doesn't want you to get married. That's between you and God, not me, you, and God. That's between you and God. But I sure am glad God wanted me to get married. One of the greatest things ever happened in my life is when I met that lady right there, and God said, that's who I want you to marry. Been married for 40 years, loving it all. Says it all been ups? No, there's been some ups and downs, but I want to go on record again, publicly, and saying there's been far more ups than there's been downs. Who can say amen with me out here?
Amen.
Amen. Then he said this. He said in verse number 3, he said, not only everyone and that feareth the Lord, but will work and will have a wife. By the way, just want you to know, that's a reversal of another curse. Yeah, God cursed Eve in the garden. He cursed her in her childbearing. He said, you're going to be sorrowful. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. Read it. I'm telling you what the scripture says. Read it. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. See, when God created man and woman, listen, he gave them, read the pronouns there, he gave them the dominion. But then it transferred to Adam because of Eve's sin in the garden. Read the scripture. The Bible's always right. Bible's always right. But can I tell you that even just as it was with the labor and the work, God can turn that into a blessing. God can turn this into a blessing too, man and woman. You can live a peaceable, prosperous, blessed life as a married couple in Jesus Christ. You can be blessed. Yeah. Then he said this, children. By the way, that was another curse. He said, in childbearing, he said, in sorrow you shall bring forth children. Is that what he said? He said, here, he said, I want to bless you in this. Can I tell you that in Psalm 127, look back there, it's just right there at you. Psalm 127, the scripture said this. Look at verse number 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Look at verse number 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Can I tell you, children are a blessing. I hear these folks running around talking about them little, you know, just calling them names. I mean, just terrible names. The children. Hey, you better be careful about what you say and do to those little children. There's a God in heaven who loves the little children. Yeah, even yours that are mean. And that's right. Yeah, that's right. God loves the little children. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. That's right. Thank God for the little children. You're looking at a preacher who loves little children. I got in the kingdom of God. First of all, I got in like a child because you cannot get saved except you come as the faith of a child. That's right. But I got in by a child. Little old child told me that Jesus loved me, and I couldn't sleep for a day and a half. Amen. I mean, two nights, I couldn't sleep until I got saved. She told me Jesus loved me. My brother's sitting over there. He knows. I'm glad to see my brother here today. He knows. When he came in that night, he knew there's something different. Something different about Dale. Dale got born again because a little girl told him that Jesus loved him. I sure am glad for the little children. Now, don't you misabuse or be mean to one of those little children. I'm for discipline now. I'm for discipline. But now, if you start abusing, you start laying your hands on a little child in a way you shouldn't, I'm going to tell you, God's going to take care of you. And I don't mean this to get in the flesh or anything, but if he'd allow me to, I would. I don't like people who abuse people and bully people and hurt people. Listen, that's a terrible, terrible way to approach life. You keep your hands off those little children. That's right. Got a bunch of folks in our world today that are abusing the little children, brethren. Abducting them. Doing terrible things to the little children. I'm going to tell you something. God's keeping the record now. I want you to know that. And here the Bible says, if you want to be blessed, he said, the little children are a blessing from God. I thank God for my children. How about it, men? Amen. My children made me a father, and I'm proud of every one of them. I'm proud of every one of my children. You say, preacher, have they always done right? No, but I haven't either. I haven't either. Are they perfect, preacher? No, but I'm not either. But they're my children. I'll stand by them through thick and thin. the good times and the bad times. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. And I want to be an example to them. I do. So who are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to someone. I'm talking to everyone who fears the Lord, verse 1, who will walk in His ways. Can you be a recipient of that blessing today? That'll work. Can you be a recipient of that? Do you know what it is to put your hand to the plow? Do you know what it is to provide for your family? That'll have a wife. That's right. A wife. Not a significant other. A wife. Man and wife. Husband and wife. That's God's way. Children. Children. See, these are ways we get a blessing. Sometimes we think of blessings and we think of things outside of these things. These are the core of the blessings of God. And I'm blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed.
Amen.
God's done gotten me in all of that.
Right.
Yep. I knew what it was to go to work as a 9-year-old boy and help support my mother. I thank God for that. I thank God for that, you see. I thank the Lord that I met a good lady that I could marry and call my wife, who stood by me all these years in ministry and rearing up the children and going through life together, doing this thing called life together. Man, I'm blessed. How about you?
Amen.
How about you? I'm blessed, you see, of the Lord. The Lord did all this for me, brethren. The Lord did. I'd have messed it up. Just as sure as I'm standing before you, had God not gotten involved in my life, I'd have messed it all up.
Amen.
But I sure am glad that God got involved.
Amen.
Passed by my way.
Amen.
Here I am saved
Amen.
In the grace of God, enjoying the great blessings of the Lord.
Amen. Thank God.
Who? Well, let's look at what. God says, I want to bless you. That's what. Four times in these verses, God mentions the blessing. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. Blessed. By the way, I encourage you to go home, and if you'll just get a concordance out, you'll find that this word blessed in 3 of the 4 times is in the plural form. The word blessed, actually, it's transliterated in the next time that it's used, which I think is in verse number 2. Verse number 1 says, blessed. Look at verse number 2, right in the middle of the verse. Happy shalt thou be. See, that's what blessed means. It means happy. But the word blessed there in verse 1 and again in verse number 4 and in verse number 5 is in the plural form, which means happy, happy. Amen. I mean, that means real happy. Yeah. Some folks are happy and some folks are just happy, happy. Amen. That's right. I tell you, we Christians ought to be happy, happy. Yeah. Why? Well, God's been good to us. Yeah. Blessed, verse number 1. Verse number 2. Happy, happy. Verse number 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And then verse number 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Which, that there is just a continuation. God will bless you, and then He'll just keep blessing you and blessing you. Have you found that to be so?
Amen.
I have.
Amen.
I have. Now let's talk about this just for a moment. Now God begins to elaborate, just as He did on the who, He elaborates on the what too. Let's just look at this. Notice, if you would, what He said here. All right, you with me? He said, I want you to know that if you will fear the Lord, and I told you that word means if you will reverence, if you will revere, if you will stand in awe of, if you will honor the Lord. Well, there's a semicolon there in verse number 1, which means that, well, this is a result of it, that walketh in His ways. You see, when you fear the Lord, you'll walk in His ways. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. They go together. It's what He's saying. You with me? They go together. You can't speak out of both sides of your mouth and say, well, I love Jesus, but I'm not going to serve Him. No. Uh-uh. If you love Him, you'll serve Him. The songwriter said, I will serve thee. Why? Because I love thee. It's good biblical theology. And so now you come down into verse number 2. Notice what He said in verse number 2. He said, and it shall be well with thee. What a statement. I stand before you today and say that it is well with me. It's well with my life, my family, my soul. It's well with me. I look around and I see all the chaos and all the hurt and all that's going on. And yet here I am, blessed of God, a recipient of the goodness of the Lord. You know, everybody wants to be blessed. Are you willing to position yourself to be blessed? How will I be blessed, preacher? Well, the Bible says here that it will be well with thee. I'm going to do something that I normally don't do. You see that word with, and I've told you before, and I don't think I have to tell you. If you know me well, you'll know that the statement I'm getting ready to say is so. I'm not a grammatical expert, okay? I did pass it in high school. Yeah, okay, you're laughing because you doubt it, but I did. Okay, I don't have the proof to prove it, but you just have to take my word. I passed grammar. With is a preposition. The word with means connected, together. All right? It means connected, together. And I wrote down a couple more things, and I was going to try to do it without looking at it, but I want to look at it because I want to get this right. Association and gatherings. With. Notice what he's saying. It shall be well with thee. This word with is a very interesting word. Now, how long is it going to be well with thee? As long as you're working? So you mean to tell me that folks that are here who can no longer go out and earn and work, that it's not going to be well with them? I want you to notice what the psalmist said down toward the end of the psalm. He said in the verse number 5, look at the latter part of verse number 5, all the days of thy life. Amen. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can I tell you, the blessing of God has been on me, and if I will continue to fear Him, if I will continue to walk in His ways, if I will continue to do what I should do in my work, if I will continue to love my wife and do right by her and to do right by my children and do right by the commandments of God, the goodness of God, the blessing of God will be with me all the days of my life. What a blessing. What a promise, brethren. What a promise. All the days of my life. God is with me in life. God is with me in life. He said, fear thou not, for what? I am with thee. Isn't that what he said in Isaiah 41:10? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. He said in Joshua 1:9, he said, have not I commanded thee? Be thou strong and of a good courage. Amen. He said, for I will be with thee. With thee. That means together. That means connected. Amen. I will be with thee all whithersoever thou goest. Not only is he with us in life, thank God he's with us in death. That's right. That thief was dying on the cross. That dying thief rejoiced in his day, didn't he? He did. Why? Because Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me. That's important. It's important to go through life with Jesus. It's important. You can't just go through life and expect to be blessed. You've got to go through life with the right association. That word with isn't a word of association. It's a word of connection. With thee. With thee. Is God with you? Is he? Have you connected with God? You say, preacher, you mean that we as mortal man can connect with God? Can the creature connect with the Creator? God wants it that way. Not only in life, but in death. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Did you know that God will even see you through death? Listen carefully. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art what? With me. I'm telling you, God will never leave you nor forsake you is what I'm telling you. That's what this psalm is saying. God wants to bless our lives. God wants to be a part of our lives. God wants to go with us in life. He will be with us in death, and He will be with us in eternity. For to be absent from the body is to be present. What's the next verse say? With the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. That's good in and of itself. Amen. And then, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful promise this is that God has given us. So who? Well, everyone who fears the Lord, who will walk in his ways, and then those that labor, those that work, and then be a good husband. Treat your wife with respect and honor. Now what the scripture teaches in 1 Peter chapter 3? And then train up those children. Invest in their young lives, Dad. Invest in those children. Can I tell you there's few things in life, if any, more important than your children? Especially when they're under your roof and under your tutelage. They need you, Dad. They need you. Be there for them. The what? The blessing. I want to bless you. Verse number 2 says this, that it may be, that it shall be well with thee. How long, preacher? Verse number 5, all the days of thy life. Now I'm going to close with this. All right? There is so much in this psalm that these are just like introductory notes. Where's all that coming from? I want you to notice what verse number 5 says. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. What a statement. Oh, you can read Jeremiah 31 and you'll find that that's where the abode of God in Zion, that's where the Ark of the Covenant, that's where God resides. The dwelling place of God, you see. God says, I want to bless you spiritually. I want to bless you. God said, I want to do it. I'm not talking about the church blessing you. I'm not talking about a preacher blessing you. I'm not talking about a man blessing you, a company blessing you. God himself wants to bless your life. You know, the devil has beat so many people down that I can make that statement, and some folks just say, well, not me, preacher. God doesn't want to bless my life. Sure he does. He said, everyone, you willing to fear the Lord, to walk in his ways? God will bless you. You say, well, I haven't done it. That doesn't mean he won't bless you. Start doing it. God will bless you. Amen. Put yourself in a position so God can bless you. Don't do things and then say, now God bless what I'm doing. No, find out what God's blessing and start doing it. We've got it backwards. But if we'll get it right, God will bless us. Out of Zion. Let's read this and then I'll close, all right? So here's what he's saying. He said, I want to bless you spiritually. Okay, I want to bless you spiritually out of Zion. And then he said, I want to bless you locally, that thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem. That's a local. You know, here in Madison County, we have Greene County represented here, Culpeper County represented here, Rappahannock County, Orange County, and Spotsylvania County. We have some counties represented in our church, maybe some outside of that. I don't know. Those are those that I know of. Albemarle County. Don't you want it to be good in your community? We all do. Well, stand up. I'm proud of those of you who showed up at the school board meeting. I'm proud of you. Continue to stand. Well, to stand for what's right. Stand for what. So I'm not for that. Well, you know what? You come to me and show me in the Bible where you shouldn't stand for what's right. Stand for what's right. Stand. And so he said right here, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. The spiritual blessing is going to lead you to further blessing. But that's where it begins. All right? Out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem. When God begins to bless our spiritual life, it'll begin to take part in our local life. And then notice what he said. He said in verse number 6, thou shalt see thy children's children. The family. God will bless your family. Is your family blessed? You may not want to believe this, but I challenge you again. It just sounds like, can that be? Devils are real. Okay? They're real. And they will attach themselves to a family and try to go down the family line. There are people that are dealing with things that their ancestors dealt with because the devils are just following the family line. Many times sons of drunkards become drunkards. Sons of drug users become drug users. That's right. Sons of rebellion becomes rebellious. They produce rebellion. You need to break that curse through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and you need to get under the blessing where God can bless your life.
Amen.
Now, there's some of you under, listen, you are under some demonic situations in your family situation, and I'm going to ask you through the power of the blood of Jesus now, through the power of the blood of Jesus, to break that curse and be set free. Some of you's in bondage. You say, well, I'm in church, preacher. You can be in church and still be in bondage now. That's right. What you looking at through the week? Is it pure? What you listening to? Is it pure? Is it clean? See, demons attach themselves to things and they'll come at you at every direction. You have to be really careful about where you go and who you spend your time with and what you look at and what you listen to. Somebody say amen with me now. I understand that it took a little turn there, but this is important stuff. Why? Because notice what he said in verse number 6. He said, your children, your grandchildren, your children's children, he said, they're involved here, so you be real careful now. They're watching what you watch, Daddy. Father, they're listening to what you listen to. They're looking at you. They want to see how you live. They want to see how you react. They want to see how you respond. They want to see what you do. What's important to you is going to become important to them, whether you want it to or not. Now, sometimes we want it to, but if we're all honest, we'd say sometimes we don't. Some of the things that we make important that shouldn't be, we don't want that to be important to them, but we don't get to pick and choose there. That's why we need to choose wisely. All right, let's stand to our feet. And he said, and peace upon Israel. And peace upon Israel. All right, that's national. Israel. I think this is where we start, national. We want our country to change, preacher. Well, I do too. I don't want to pay $5 a gallon for gas. Whatever it is for milk and eggs. A gold brick? I don't know. What is it now? I don't live in a society that's leaning towards socialism. But that's not where you start. This is what we've come to. You start back in Zion. You look to God for some help. We're not going to turn this country around in the spirit, listen, in the energy of the flesh. Listen to me, brethren. Dads, please listen to me. Fathers, please listen to me. So I'm strong, preacher. Well, you're not stronger than the devil. And if you think in the energy of the flesh you're going to fight a spiritual warfare, you're going to get defeated every time. It starts out of Zion. And then it goes to Jerusalem. And then your family. And now our nation, Israel. You see the steps it's taken there for the blessing? Let's bow our heads for a moment.